Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Gospel reading, Matthew 1, especially verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This is our text. Christmas has a particular feeling and reputation. If you were asked to describe the Christmas season, you might use words like peace and light. You might describe it as a time of joy and celebration, as a festive gathering of family and friends. And for many, that's exactly what Christmas is. It lives up to that reputation, but not for everyone. Not everyone experiences Christmas as a time of peace and light and joy and celebration and family and friends. Some find Christmas to be chaotic and confusing, even exhausting and frustrating. There's a whirlwind of activity, there's pressure and expectation, there are uncertain and messy relationships to navigate, there may be health concerns or financial stresses. For some, Christmas has baggage. It means disappointment, loneliness, worry, and the feeling that life has gotten out of control. Meet Joseph, a man who didn't have a Hallmark Christmas full of peace and joy, even though he made it on the front of almost every Christmas card. Joseph, whose Christmas felt exhausting and chaotic, frustrating, and uncertain. You see, as we meet Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, he's a man whose life is not going according to his plan. He finds himself in the middle of a story that he didn't write, playing a role that he never expected to have, saddled with responsibilities and duties that he hadn't signed up for. I don't know what your picture of Joseph is, but we don't get a very large description of him in the scriptures. Although I think we've formed ideas of him in our mind. We know that he was betrothed to Mary. And from that we build this sort of image of who Joseph was. We picture him to be a man diligently preparing a home and a life for his soon-to-be bride. We imagine him working hard in his carpentry shop or maybe sweating away at a large public works project in the nearby city of Sepphoris. He's a man who earns his living honestly. He has a plan to provide for himself and his wife and whatever children the Lord will give to them in the future. I can picture Joseph while he's working away, perhaps thinking down the road 5, 10, 20 years, organizing his work and his family life in a way that's quiet, simple, and faithful. A man who thinks he knows what the future will bring and who is in control of his life and his future until the bombshell drops that we find in Matthew chapter 1. You're engaged to be married and your wife is already pregnant and the child is not yours. But going back to this picture of Joseph as a man in control of his life, planning and preparing his life, I think that can describe most of us in a way as well. We would rather be in control of events happening in our lives than to be caught up in events beyond us. We spend our time organizing our lives, time trying to find the right balance between maybe work and home or whatever other responsibilities we have. We're constantly rethinking the boundaries that we've established in our lives with others or with the things that we do. We're always wanting to be the ones in charge, planning out the next 5 or 10 or 20 years, thinking that we know what's going to happen and we're going to see it through. I wonder if sometimes our control and our planning, though, a little bit like Joseph's, is all about us and not so much about following the path and plan that our God has laid out for us. How often might we, in our plans or our preparing or our desire for control, run right over the people who are around us, ignoring their needs, pushing aside the things that are required to serve them? How often might we be willing, in order to control and plan and be in charge of our lives, to also ignore God's own word? Maybe not fully, but in part. Something that God tells us to do or not to do that we find inconvenient or unhelpful for our life at the time, we'll just set that one aside. Because we know what we want, and we know how we want life to go. And God forbid that he or anyone else should get in our way. And we meet Joseph, a man whose life didn't go according to plan. This is how Matthew tells his story. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was a bomb dropped in Joseph's life. To find out that his wife is pregnant with a child, or his soon-to-be wife is pregnant with a child that is not his, and suddenly Joseph's control over his world and life is crumbling. Things are happening that are above and beyond him. This is the birth, the coming of Jesus Christ. God is the one in control. Yet Joseph still thinks that he can kind of manage the situation. You see how difficult this is for him. He found the virgin birth hard to believe, as many people have for hundreds and even thousands of years. He found this announcement a shock to the system. I'm sure it led him to many sleepless nights. What will he do? How will he act? How can he take control of this situation again? And so he comes up with his plan. He's a just and a righteous man. He's not going to drag Mary's name through the mud. He's not going to haul her out for public stoning. He's not going to destroy her or ruin her reputation. But he certainly can't marry this woman. Not now. So he does what a just and righteous man would do. He decides he's going to divorce her quietly. He'll make sure she's set up with a life where she can live, but he's not going to make her his bride. Until in the middle of the night, an angel comes to him in his dreams. And the angel tells him that what Mary has said is true. That this child is not the child of some other man, but this is the very Son of God, conceived in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. The virgin shall conceive and have a son. And Joseph in that moment is challenged. Challenged with the question of, will he go with the plans that he has, the control that he had in mind over his own life? Or will he take what God gives? Will he receive what God wills? Will he enter into what God has called him to? We meet Joseph, a man who is faithful. Faithful not only to his bride, but faithful to the role assigned to him by God through the angel. A man who is willing to set aside all the plans and dreams and desires that he had to carry out the work that God has given to him. We see that not only today in our reading, but this is going to have an effect on Joseph for the rest of his life. Next Sunday, we will be observing Holy Innocence. That moment when Herod hearing about the birth of this newborn king, decides he will exterminate that child and any other in Bethlehem who might be a threat to him. And Joseph's life is upended again as he takes the child and his mother and flees to Egypt. But here in this moment, Joseph is willing to receive what God gives. He wakes from sleep and he does as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He takes Mary to be his wife. But he knows her not until she has given birth to a son, and he calls that son's name Jesus. He takes this child that doesn't belong to him, but is given to him from God as a gift, and he finds that true joy and true freedom in life are not in what he can control, but in what he receives from God, in what God is doing, in what God is giving. Because God is doing something better than what Joseph had in mind. God is doing something larger than what Joseph possibly could have conceived of. Joseph is part of a story that will bring salvation to the world through this Son of God, who is the Son of Mary, whose name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Today you also are called to receive this same gift, the gift of this same child who was given to Joseph. And you are called today to receive a gift from God, being called into a life that is not simply in your control, but is in his control. A life that is under his plans and his purposes, which are bigger than you and bigger than me. You are called into a life that God, in which God is working the salvation of the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. What did Joseph have to add or contribute to that moment? Could Joseph have interrupted the angel and said, "Well, actually, I was thinking that it should go this way"? Joseph had nothing to add. Everything to receive. This child, this calling, this salvation that God was working through his Son. What about you? What about me? When life throws us a curveball that comes from a direction we didn't expect, when the plans we had for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or tomorrow don't turn out the way that we were expecting, when God throws something else into our path, maybe someone else with the need they have, someone else to care for or to love, or who needs his mercy, will we receive that moment from him? And with that moment, will we receive the greater gift that God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we are enabled to carry out our duties and responsibilities, not as those who are in charge, but as those who have the gift of forgiveness and salvation? You might wonder why it was so important for the virgin to conceive and give birth. We confess it in our creeds, the virgin birth conceived by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. This is not a side idea in the Christian faith or a secondary thing. This is central to what we confess. As the angel told Mary, she will bear a son, or Joseph, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And it all took place to fulfill what was written in the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here we have the heart of the Christian faith. Here we have a birth unlike any birth that has ever taken place, conception and birth, unlike any conception and birth that has taken place before. For all of us, like Joseph, like Mary, like the saints of the New and Old Testaments, all of us were conceived from the union of a man and a woman. And all of us were conceived and born with sin. We call it original sin, what we've inherited from our parents, who inherited it from their parents, who inherited it all the way back to Adam. A nature that is fallen and corrupted and against God and his ways, and a nature that gives rise to other evils and to death. Jesus was conceived and born in a different way. True man, he received his humanity from his mother Mary, but without sin. A new man, with a new life, and a new purpose. One who was born in such a way that he would not be bringing sin into the world with him, but rather he would be taking sin from the world to the cross. One who must be like us in every way, except able to blot out the sin of the world. One who would be the unblemished sacrifice for sin. And it's all there in his name, Jesus, who will and does save his people from their sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ was conceived in this way so that he could be our brother, but not a sinner. So that he could be our great high priest to forgive our sin and bestow life upon us as Adam's children. Life upon us who have lived in the shadow of death. Life upon us who have often felt the world spinning out of control and wondering what God is doing and how he is at work. And our Lord has come, full of grace and life, to be the God who saves, the Lord who saves. And we confess his name again today. You have said it already in the creed. Jesus is Lord. He is the God of Israel. Yahweh, come in human flesh to rescue us and be our redemption, to take control of our chaotic lives, to be with us through the exhaustion and the frustration and the loneliness and the discouragement, to assist us to navigate the relationships that we have, even the ones that are challenging. This is what Christmas is about. Jesus, who will save and has saved and continues to save us from our sins. So whatever other feelings or associations you may get with Christmas, whether it brings great joy and peace and light or some dread and frustration into your life, remember this. The most important thing about Christmas is the thing that Joseph also received and that you receive today as well. Your Lord Jesus Christ, come in the flesh with his forgiveness and with his salvation, for God is with us. And God is for us, and God is our forgiveness, and God is our salvation at every time, including Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.